Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a Victory Monday, Keith?
I'm ready, Jones.
I'm ready to get a lot of Victory Mondays. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but holy mackerel.
I think there's going to be some.
There might be a few. That was nice. That was a nice little win there yesterday.
That's exactly what it was.
It was
not a ton of style points. No. Although,
some cool plays, though. Some really good stuff.
Great early touchdown there from Drake May. I mean, if all of his touchdowns counted, maybe there would be some style points.
Oh, that's a good point.
But not all the style points in the world. New Orleans was hanging around, annoyingly so, in that game. There were multiple times I looked up. Right before halftime, I'm like, how are the Saints winning? And then the Patriots took the lead going into halftime. And then late in the game, you're like, how is this game not over? How are they still hanging around?
Yeah, they're kind of like a pesky team, maybe? Pesky? I don't even know if they're frisky, necessarily, but they're more pesky than frisky.
They
kind of hang around. You know, Spencer Rattler, we mentioned how going into the game, he only had one pick on the season. You're like, oh, he's a young, not great quarterback. He should turn it over a lot. Eh, not really. Doesn't really turn it over a lot. The defense isn't bad. They're 1-5. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. But they've played a lot of close games. I think this is what they've lost 5 games. I think 4 of them have been within one possession. So, like, you know, but I also think it was more where the game was on the schedule than anything else, where you're like, all right, it's a road game in between 2 other road games, which are going to be much more emotional, even if they want to treat them like they're every other game. The Bills game, for all the reasons we went over the last 2 weeks, and then even the Titans game coming up for Vrabel, stand out way more, way easier to circle than like at a 1-4 Saints team. So the fact that they came out and they've had slow starts earlier this year, the fact they came out the way that they did was very promising. Obviously, second half, you didn't really put up a lot of points and you kind of had to hold on to the win, but you did. And that's a sign of a good team too, is you're not always going to play your best for all 4 quarters, but can you still beat the teams you're better than? And they did.
Yeah, they didn't let down. And so I think that was the main thing we were all wondering about. Would Vrabel be caught looking ahead to the Tennessee game? Would the players be caught looking past a team like New Orleans?
Or just like still feeling good about the Bills game?
Coming off the big victory over Buffalo, Steph Diggs, it was his Super Bowl. Like, Drake May played incredible in that game. Would they let down? And they didn't. So, yeah, there might not have been the style points. It wasn't a blowout like there was against Carolina. But they did what they had to do. Remember, if they win in Tennessee this weekend, it'll be the first time in franchise history they swept 3 straight road games. They never did it with Brady.
It's wild.
So, look, they got the hardest one out of the way with Buffalo, New Orleans, and Tennessee. Even if New Orleans is pesky, they're not good.
No.
Tennessee is real bad.
Ooh, stinks.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of wins on this schedule as long as they don't let down against opponents that they're better than. And make no mistake, they're better than these teams. Patriots are pretty good. I was looking at Chad
Kraft.
Graf.
Sure.
On Twitter. And he tweeted out the Athletics playoff model, Keith.
Playoff model?
We do this a lot.
Ooh,
in
is it a
baseball
pleasure model?
I don't know. I haven't seen. That's a good question.
Weak.
Weak. Lame. Their playoff model, though, Keith.
Yeah, listening.
Gives the Patriots an 81% chance of making the playoffs.
Oh, well, yeah. I could see that. I mean, after they beat the Bills, they went to a big favorite to make the playoffs. And then another win like this in the landscape of the AFC makes sense.
81% to make the playoffs, 3.5% chance to win the Super Bowl.
The whole thing?
The whole thing?
The whole kit and caboodle? 3.5%?
Not to make the Super Bowl, to win the whole thing? 3.5%.
Listen, it's a wide open NFL. If you're paying attention, right? If your eyes are open on this, it's a wide open league. There are no juggernauts anymore. So why not the Pats?
Why not us?
Why not the Pats? 3.5%? It's pretty good.
Real good.
That's real nice.
I didn't expect to see that. I didn't expect even 81% to make the playoffs. I'm surprised about those numbers. They're also projected for 10.6. It's called 10.5. 10.5, 11 wins is what they're projected for right now.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense because when you win at Buffalo, right? Like, I don't know how much of this has to do with beating the Saints, right? Like, five other teams beat the Saints. They're not all, you know, Super Bowl favorites or anything like that. But beating the Bills, then following it up, and then looking around the rest of the conference and being like, all right, I think they can play with everybody. They're still very much like an underdog as it relates to, you know, winning the AFC and things like that. But a lot of those top teams are stumbling, whether due to injury or just poor performance or both. And then sort of like a new group there at the top. And you're like, all right, why not them? Like, honestly, like, if they're playing a little bit better, if they're healthy, like, it's a team that is pretty good and has an easy schedule on top of it, which would lead to 10, 11 wins.
Yeah, you went to Buffalo and beat them.
Yeah.
But I think you have to respect Buffalo. I think you still have to respect the Chiefs. They look pretty good beating Detroit last
night.
Yeah,
they're not dead yet.
No, I mean, they're 3-3. If you got Kansas City in a playoff game, I would respect their body of work, and I'd probably understand why they were favored. The rest of the AFC, Colts, not great yesterday. Steelers beat the Patriots, but the Patriots should have beat them. Chargers playing like garbage, although they pulled out a late win against Miami.
Yeah, who's even worse?
Jags lost. Broncos looked horrible against the Jets yesterday, though they won.
Broncos and Chargers both won, but I think it had way more to do with their two opponents.
That was the AFC playoff picture. I just gave it to you.
That's it.
And so that's why the Patriots have a good chance at A, making the playoffs, and B, maybe making some noise once they get there.
I think the Colts and the Steelers, I'm with you. I would take the Pats, but they're saying the same thing. Like, if you're in Indianapolis, you're like, all right, this could be their year. If you're the Steelers, you could be like, this could be their year.
So the Patriots would do it on the back of a potential MVP candidate, which we'll get to coming up, in Drake May. Another monster performance from him, although you alluded to it, much better in the first half than the second half. Still 261, three touchdowns, didn't turn it over, picked up some yardage on the ground as well, and another win for Drake May. So you feel good about that, and you can discuss it all day long on a Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. You can do the same on YouTube. You can watch, you can chat, subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. Speaking of Drake May, Keith, we can't get into the Patriots and the victory yesterday without some of the plays that were taken away from Drake May.
God, what was that?
If you're familiar with, I think, our work together,
we got ourselves a bona fide cheating scandal.
I think we largely try to stay out of it with the refs. Like, we've talked about robot refs.
Yeah, it seems like a loser's lament oftentimes. Like, there are bad calls. There are pretty costly calls. But I try to think that usually they go both ways or whatever else. And there are times where it's a little bit tilted, but you're like, all right, you got to overcome that, and you got to win. So I think it's always fair to point it out. But to say that is the sole reason why a team lost, I hate doing that.
So, same.
Yeah.
You can't ignore how bad the refs were yesterday.
Well, not only were the calls bad, but it was
late.
The delay of the calls. It's like, all right, you didn't have it. It's one thing to have a bad call in real time. It's one thing to delay. Touchdown, great play. Everyone's excited. Half the field's excited. Half the field's dejected. Both send out their special teams units. Then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Flag.
Well, I don't even know if a flag was ever thrown.
Oh, maybe
not. So, I don't know if a flag was ever thrown. New Orleans, if you watch, and I've just seen the clips of this, Keith. I don't pretend to go back and watch the All-22, Shime style.
Get in there.
But I've seen clips of this. I mean, New Orleans didn't react whatsoever to the call. We're talking about the second touchdown to pop that got negated.
Which, on the other side of the field, Steph Diggs apparently had offensive pass interference.
Way out of the way of the play. And you're right. The real egregious thing there is the delay in that call. I think from there, people are like, all right, well, we've already gotten boned by the refs, and there's already been this trash call, and now you see more of them getting taken away. I thought Diggs did push off on his pass interference.
Yeah, like, there's just so many of those.
It might have been a ticky-tack call, but I watched the replay, and I go, okay, well, I can see why they would throw a flag there. Whether you agree with it or not, Diggs did push off. If you think it happens every play, if you think it was ticky-tack, fine. But I can at least understand that one. But from there, it really seemed to get out of control.
Oh, it was stupid. Yeah, the Diggs one on its own, in slow-mo replay, it looks like more of a push. I think he kind of made, like, slight contact, but you see that all the time. And you see great receivers get away with that all the time, too. And if you watch that replay again, even in slow-mo, I don't think the receiver or the corner was completely, like, pushed off of his spot. There was obviously contact. I'm not trying to tell you there was zero contact. But you see that all the time. I would have let that play stand. I thought that was bad. But nothing was as bad as taking the Pop Douglas touchdown off the board. It made no sense. And then you're like, why on earth would the refs be in the back for the Saints? It doesn't make any sense, right? We hear this all the time about Patrick Mahomes.
Saints were home dog yesterday. Maybe that's a good bet. Three and a half points at home.
Couldn't even cover.
Refs tried.
They were
trying hard.
But it's frustrating because it also takes away from the flow of the game, too. And, like, early on, it's relatively high scoring, right? It's back and forth, and you're seeing the Patriots chuck the ball around, and, like, that's great. And then you're like, oh, let's bring it back. Let's call it over again. Let's do this. And then explain the flags. Because the flags were at one point somewhat low for the Pats. You're like, oh, maybe this is going to be sort of a, you know, penalty-free type of game. And then, no, you know, as far as accepted penalties, they had 11 for 65. Saints were flagged 8 times, but still just frustrating, interrupts the flow of the game, and most of the calls were bad and or late.
And especially that one, you're right. Yeah. The Patriots on balance yesterday had two different plays, 113 yards and a touchdown wiped out by offensive pass interference calls yesterday.
Brutal.
Is what they had wiped out. Now, here's what I like is after the flag gets called, or the penalty gets called, the OPI on Diggs, which negates a Pop Douglas 61-yarder, would have been a second. I, by the way, would have cut Pop Douglas weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Egg on our face.
I guess I was rash in that decision. But right after that, they get in the end zone. Kayshawn Booty with a 25-yard touchdown, first to 2 on
nice
the day
game.
For Booty. Real nice
Some
game
clutch,
for him.
Clutch catches as well.
So I like that Drake May and the offense overcame some of these questionable calls, late calls against the Pats. Here's Drake May talking about that after the game.
Yeah, I think it was huge. You know, it was a really late call. We were almost on the sideline. I was about to sit down. I think just coming back and battling and, picking up a couple consistent drives in the first half, and then Booty with a great play, in the back of the end zone, just trying to give him a chance on one on one. One on one is open in this league, and you got to know that. And left some out there coming out of the half in the second half, first drive. So that was a bummer, but just got to keep going.
So I'm with you, Keith. I feel a lot better coming in questioning the refs because the Patriots overcame the bad calls, the questionable calls, the late calls against them, as opposed to they lose that game, they let it get to them. And now we're all crying that the refs lost you the game. I feel a lot better doing it on the other side of a win than the other way around.
Yeah, and, like, good for them. Like, that's a little bit of adversity, right? Because, like, you score a touchdown, and it's an awesome play, and it's easy to be like, well, we just scored on this one, and then maybe the rest of the drive fizzles out. And it's like, nope, all right, we'll do it again. And then you move down the field, and they do. And that's why, the joke was their first two possessions, Drake May had 3 passing touchdowns. Like, that's the way it was looking at that point. You're like, all right, just let this guy chuck it deep because everything that they were doing was working. I also like his term there where he's like, one-on-one is open. So basically, if any receiver's one-on-one, they're open. Now, that also does speak to the personnel a little bit because the last couple of years, that wasn't really the case.
No.
Those guys could be one-on-one, and they would be covered like a glove.
Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel won a couple of key challenges yesterday. Yep. I mean, the two-point conversion, was that a booth review? That might have been a booth review.
Yeah, that was also adding to the bad refs. Like, that was clearly in on the first go.
I mean, I don't know if he was clearly in, but, like,
but his body was in.
His body was in. So, right. I'm like, how do you
it disappears
not
in there,
call
like,
him in on that?
I don't know.
So, I'm sorry. That was a booth review they did right before halftime.
I don't know if you guys were watching Red Zone at all during that yesterday, but they during halftime the other games, they spent 10 minutes telling you what happened on those two plays.
It's because Scott Hansen effed it up so bad. He said they wiped out the touchdown. I know exactly what happened. He said they wiped out the touchdown. It didn't count to Kayshawn Booty, and then they were running.
The scoreboard didn't know either because it was still 14.
CBS had the scoreboard wrong. So Red Zone, if you missed any, if you watched the Patriots like I did and went over to Red Zone at halftime like I did, then you just rewatched everything you just watched. It was super annoying because Hansen effed it all up.
Got it.
But anyway, so that was a bad one. I thought it was a fumble on Juwan Johnson, which Vrabel had to challenge. He won that challenge. Mm. And then we had the challenge on the sideline where Booty was in bounds and Vrabel won, which I want to react to on the other side. But here's Vrabel on winning a few challenges yesterday.
I don't think you ever really know nowadays. I really don't. Shutch does a fantastic job and, just trying to figure it out, how they're going to see it. Sometimes they see it the way we do. Sometimes they don't. And just trying to be as smart as we possibly can, and we felt like those were plays that could help us.
Okay,
they were.
I think that's the closest we've really seen to Vrabel really making like a head coaching impact on some of these bang bang plays. Like when he was in Tennessee, and he was
messing with Bill
and outmaneuvering Bill. We hadn't really seen much of that yet. I think yesterday those two challenges we saw it out of Vrabel. He helped them by those decisions, he helped them seal a win yesterday.
Yeah, no, those were good. Those were good, and that's also that is his guy's stretch, right? For everything with what Bill was doing, like that was Ernie Adams and like the mad scientist that he was, and those guys working together. So that's a good sign, because that's one that you were hoping to get going into some of these games, like who has the coaching advantage. And obviously last year, a little lopsided, didn't have a lot of those.
No.
This year though, you're like, all right, Kellen Moore, like I'll take Vrabel, right? So like week to week, you're like, all right, if you have the coach and the quarterback advantage, I mean, you win at like a 90% clip, it feels like. And so I think Vrabel, you know, at least yesterday, kind of proving once again that should be an advantage they have week to week.
You said it, I didn't.
real quick to clear something up, because this is going to come up a lot this week about the three straight road games.
Oh, yeah.
So people are questioning, well, how did like Tom Brady never win three straight road games? They went 16-0. Three consecutive road games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, yeah, they went 8-0 that year on the road, but they didn't play. The way the schedule was, they didn't play three road games in three consecutive weeks.
They didn't play week 5, 6, 7 the road.
Yeah.
Consecutive.
So that's what that means.
So, yeah, maybe that was poor phrasing on my end.
Well, no, it's just a little wordy. You gotta, yeah.
Three consecutive road games, all away from Foxborough. So that's what they'll try to do against Tennessee this weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the hog man getting fired up.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Hog on the call.
I hadn't heard
hog
that.
Call. Yeah, not bad.
He wasn't liking the refs yesterday.
No, did you see the pool report with referee Adrian Hill on the OPI call on Steph Diggs?
Yes.
All right. So Mike Reese had this post. And so it's a question and then two questions, two answers. So it was, what was seen to call offensive pass interference on Stephon Diggs that nullified a touchdown catch by DeMario Douglas? Adrian Hill, quote, on that play, we ruled blocking downfield by number 8 early during the play.
Okay.
So if there's a situation where a player blocks downfield, it's not a foul until a pass is thrown.
So he's saying they marked it before they even threw the pass.
That's right.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious about that,
too. Hold on, there's more explanation.
Yeah.
It's not a foul until a pass is thrown. So you kind of put that in the bank.
Nice.
And then the pass was thrown downfield later. That created the offensive pass interference.
Okay.
Question. The follow-up question, mechanically, with the later timing of the penalty and subsequent announcement as both teams had their special teams units on the field, how did that unfold? The timing.
Yeah.
Hill, quote, the official was processing the play, and then he came to me over the O2O. That's the official-to-official communication system.
Okay.
Because it was a long-developing play, he had to rewind back to what happened at the beginning of the play and process that.
So I was wondering
they
this.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
So that's what a robot would do. They would go back and they would have to rewind. So did he talk about he rewound in his mind what happened?
I think he's talking about the official to official. They're talking to the remote officials, right? Aren't they talking to people off-site? Is
official
that
to official communication system. No, I think he's like the official was processing the play and he came over to
and he had to rewind back to it?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, he was talking to him. He didn't, like, run up to him, but he was like, hey, I think there might have been an offensive player blocking downfield.
I have the Saints
I don't know,
plus
you want to call
3.5, and I forgot to throw the flag.
Yeah,
and,
that's insane. That made it so much worse.
Yeah.
Be like, well, it was a long developing play. It's like, oh, then take your time. Take all the time you need.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, do you want to flag something from the first quarter
wait
from
for
last week?
Borregales to run out and attempt the extra
yeah.
point.
No, that's wild.
I don't think the explanation helped at all. In fact, I think it creates more confusion, as it often does.
Sure.
Just say, hey, guys, we had a miscommunication. One guy had a flag on the play. Maybe we didn't recognize it. We all saw it too late. Our bad. We should have done that quicker. Like I
know. Like,
I'm not sure
on.
Anybody would be happy, but I think we could at least all accept
no,
that response.
Happy. Nobody's happy.
To me, though, the big key to the game, Pepsi key takeaway, which was brought to you by Pepsi, is they overcame these bad calls and they won.
Definitely.
And I don't know. I feel like a Gerard Mayo-led team, maybe even some of those late Bill Belichick teams when Mac Jones was here or Cam Newton were here, those plays snowball on you. It gets away from you. You let it get to you. You blame the refs. You point to the refs. You cry about the refs. And you don't make enough plays to go win the game. This team did. And so, to me, that's the key to the game. The official soft drink of the New England Patriots is Pepsi. Is Drake May an MVP candidate?
He is, yeah. I don't think he's like number one or number two, but he is a candidate. First of all, it's a quarterback award. So Jonathan Taylor can run for 3,000 yards, and they won't give it to him.
No, but he'd be a good one.
He's a good one. But like
Colts are 5-1, and he's played great. He'd be a good candidate.
Cooper Kupp didn't sniff it in 2021, Jones. And if Cooper Kupp doesn't win it for that season,
I've heard,
then nobody ever will.
I've heard, and it's been mentioned once or twice, that he had a very good 2021. Yeah.
Like, did Saquon Barkley even get a sniff last year?
No.
So, like, reduce it down to it's a quarterback award. Joe Burrow's out for the season. Lamar Jackson's already missed two games. Doesn't mean he can't come back and be like a house of fire and maybe be back in the conversation. Mahomes had 3 touchdown passes last night, but Mahomes is off to a slower start. So when you look at it, you're like, all right, what teams are winning? What quarterbacks are doing well? Drake May is a candidate. My guy, Baker Mayfield, clear candidate.
I think he would be the favorite.
Baker Mayfield might very well be the favorite.
I don't know if he actually is the betting favorite. He would be my favorite.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if it's still Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not playing bad. We can see what the odds are now.
Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Matt Stafford is the top four.
Honestly, though, Mahomes is very deserving, I think. And they got to win more games and turn their... But if they finish with, like, 10 wins, what he's doing, Mahomes is... The last couple of years, his numbers have been down, and maybe he was getting too much praise. I actually think what he's doing so far this year... And again, they got to win more games. 3-3 won't get it done. 500 won't get it done. But winning record, and they're back in the playoffs, Mahomes is... deserving, as is Allen. You said Stafford. I would have Baker Mayfield at the top of my list, just because
Mayfield's the guy.
How many times he's led game-winning drives and clutch drives? That run yesterday on third and 15, whatever it was. I think he had 27 yards after contact. He barely picked up the first. He was contacted like 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage and ran around and picked up the first down. So yeah, he would be my personal selection, but I'd say May deserves to be there with every single one of those guys.
I think Jared Goff, your guy Stafford, even like a Jordan Love or Justin Herbert, like those guys are all going to be sort of in the mix right now. And so Drake May has the chance to, especially with the soft schedule, not only put up good numbers, but pile up a lot of wins. And if you go from a team that going into the season wasn't even expected to make the playoffs, right? Like the odds were they missed the playoffs. So first of all, that puts like Mike Vrabel at the top of like Coach of the Year candidacy.
Oh, yeah.
But then for Drake May, I think there's a lot of attention there. And
Vrabel's second for Coach of the Year behind Shane Steichen.
Yeah.
Where's Canales?
Lower.
Steichen is one, though. And I would say Steichen.
Canales is plus 2,200. It looks like he's 10th.
Ooh. What about Don Johnson?
Top 10. Where is Don Johnson?
Don Johnson's going to be in there somewhere. He got a big game tonight.
Off the board.
He's got a big game tonight.
But I mean, well,
buying opportunity?
I hadn't thought much about Coach of the Year, but Steichen deserves it. I mean, the Colts at 5-1. He deserves it, but Vrabel should be right there, too.
I think Mayfield's probably the guy right now, but it's not one of those years. And it's also only 6 games in, even less for some guys. It's not like a unanimous thing right now. I think Drake May's at least put himself in that conversation. I mean, the numbers are pretty crazy when you look at it.
Well,
I mean, he has a 112 quarterback rating, 10 touchdowns, 2 picks, runs a little bit, has his team with a winning record. I mean, that's great. The only quarterback ratings higher than his right now are Lamar, who's only played in 4 games, Jared Goff, and Sam Darnold. And so that is the one thing when you want to like prop up how good Drake May's been, then you're like, oh, he has the same stats as Sam Darnold. So it's like, well, maybe he's pretty good, right?
Darnold's had a good year.
Yeah, yes.
But I'm not going nuts for Sam Darnold.
No, right, exactly. Exactly.
But to me, what's going to help Drake May? I mean, it obviously helped him. He was in prime time and outdueled Josh Allen.
Oh, a head-to-head win over the Bills is huge. That's the kind of stuff that really helps
and
that conversation.
He made significant plays down the stretch in that one, which he detailed many different times. I also think if they're going to open things up a little bit and start hitting plays downfield, which they did yesterday.
Yeah.
I think those kind of highlight reel buzzy play, I think that kind of stuff helps. I mean, the reason I would lean Mayfield is because of all the drives he's executed and the signature plays. I think May is starting to stack some of those, which to me would help him in his candidacy. He wouldn't be a favorite. Like, to me, he's not the MVP of the league if I had a vote today. But, yeah, you're right. Top five-ish is probably where I'd have him. That sounds about right.
Yeah, and I think that's not being over-the-top
homerish.
Homer. Right now, if you do, like, the projection, which I always like to do, after six games, he's now on a pace for 4,300 yards passing, 28 touchdown passes, six picks. So that's like a really, really good season. I don't think off the top of my head that sounds like an MVP season. I feel like usually, I mean, hell, Brady had a 50-touchdown season when he won MVP. So that might be a little bit different. I mean, what did Lamar have last year? Lamar's stats must have been, no. Josh Allen actually won it. Allen actually didn't throw for a million touchdowns last year. You know what? He threw for 28. But I think he ran in.
No, he did. He ran for a bunch.
But he ran in so many, I think, is the thing.
And they owed him one. He had an MVP on backlog is why he won last
year. So 28 touchdown passes, 12 touchdown rushes. So I guess if you account for 40 touchdowns, I guess that'll help get you in there.
I mean, look, that's the kind of thing May's going to do. May's going to run for touchdowns. Not that many, but May's going to run for touchdowns. Anyway, I mean, the biggest reason for the turnaround this year, Diggs has been great. Vrabel's great. McDaniels is an upgrade. I think an overrated upgrade, but an upgrade. Fix the running game, Josh, which we'll get to. But the biggest reason for the turnaround, you have an MVP candidate at quarterback.
Yep.
In his second year, playing at an absurdly high level and overcoming any bang-bang bad questionable calls against him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Mike Vrabel handing out game balls to everyone on me, he said. The cameras immediately cut to Robert Kraft, and I think Robert was like, yeah, that's right. Make sure Mike's paying for that. I'm not paying for all these footballs. I didn't
53 game balls?
I did not authorize 53 game balls.
Serious?
What, are you kidding me?
No
that's
way.
On Mike. Deduct that from Mike's paycheck right now.
Appreciate that, Mike. These are Mike's. Mike's good for it.
How about that? I still don't believe.
Yeah.
Well, unofficial game ball tracker. I still don't believe Drake May has been singled out with a game ball. He has as many game balls as, you know, Bryce Behringer and everybody else.
We got
else
him
on
as
the
a top five MVP candidate, still sitting on zero individual game balls. That's fine. Keep that one. It's the carrot, the dangling carrot.
Whatever's working.
Yeah.
Keep that one going.
But they got to get used to winning. They got to know how to win, which is important.
And he said right at the beginning of the clip, he's like, guys, I like that your expectations are raised and you're like a little disappointed we didn't blow this team out, but like, don't take winning for granted in this league. But that does speak to some heightened expectations and, you know, higher goals with this team than maybe there have been in years past. So I just wonder if he walked into the locker room and you see him doing this again. I saw the clips going around last night. Vrabel's outside the locker room. He's in the tunnel. He's high-fiving guys. He's hugging guys walking down there. He's waiting for them. And maybe he sensed they were a little frustrated, upset, down. They just didn't meet their personal expectations. He's like, guys, we won a game in the NFL. We win next week in Tennessee. Vrabel's Super Bowl. We're going to do something that's never been done in franchise history.
Right.
So don't worry about it. We won. That's all that matters.
Yeah, but it's good, right? Like, I think one of the concerns that some might have had, and even Diggs kind of, you know, talked about it last week, was after beating Buffalo, like, it's early in the season. That's great. But that's not it. Like, the season's not over. So, like, you can be excited. You beat Josh Allen on the road. It was a primetime game and all that stuff. How do you follow that up? And every single weekend, there's upsets in the NFL all the time. There's good teams playing poorly. There's bad teams that catch you at the right time or whatever. Happens all the time. And for them, in their first sort of challenge after, like, the biggest win in the team in the franchise, like, the last 5 years probably, they followed that up with a good win. And yeah, it wasn't a blowout win, but there's not a ton of blowout wins week to week. You know, there's a lot of close games. That's the nature of football. That's what they want. There's so much parity, especially this season in particular. I feel like there's a lot of parity. There's not a lot separating like the best and the worst teams as much anymore. And so, yeah, they got to be satisfied with that. I even like the kind of thing where it's like, I'm going to make you guys celebrate this. Like, we're not going to just be like, on to the next one and be like drones. Like, we're going to celebrate this. This was good. Enjoy the flight back. And then at that point, we can turn our attention to the Titans.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, how would Bill handle that? Bill comes in and kicks the, yeah, well, kicks the crap out of all of them. And he's like, oh,
He did, though. He was odd. Like, he was kind of funny. He would zag sometimes when you would think he would zig, because he was like, he didn't mind guys celebrating. Remember, like, guys in the field would celebrate a little bit. And, like, yeah, he wanted to celebrate.
I don't mean that. I just mean he'd be like, guys, we got to be way better. Oh, like, right, like, this coach sort of
better,
thing.
All that stuff.
Yeah, coach better. We got to be better. Like, we're not going to win a lot of games if this is how we play. And that was Bill's style of coaching. I mean, that is noticeably different from Vrabel. I think you see some of that in these post-game breakdowns. I think you hear some of it when he comes on with Greg as well. Mike Vrabel, a guest every Patriots Monday on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Just use the rewind feature to listen to Mike Vrabel. You can also listen live anytime on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. But Mike Vrabel joins Greg every Patriots Monday throughout the year, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. He was asked about Drake May's performance, who gets credit for it, and the relationship between May and McDaniels.
Wow.
There's a lot in
loaded
there.
Loaded question.
So let's get to the relationship in a moment, but here's the first portion of that exchange with Vrabel this morning.
Well, I would say that the credit goes to Drake. That's what it all of these go to. It's not going to go to anybody other than the player that's doing that and improving and understanding and making the plays, his ability to throw off platform and extend and keep his eyes downfield. You know, there were some things that we asked him to work on that Josh and Ashton asked him to work on coming out of Buffalo. I felt like he tried to do that. And then when he had to extend, have the ability to extend. But I think his receivers, I think he trusts those guys. I think he trusts to spread it around. I think he, you know, doesn't mind, you know, giving them a chance and putting it in some place where they can only, they'd be the ones, the only they can get it. And so I think that's a great combination between Drake's personal development and trust in the receivers.
Okay. Trust in the receivers is personal development. It's Drake May. I'm not going to give anybody else credit. Oh, by the way, after the Buffalo game, Josh and Ashton asked him to make some adjustments, and he did.
Yeah.
So he circles back. Like, he ended his answer. He kind of paused. Greg started asking a question. He circles back to answer the first part about May and McDaniels. Here's what Vrabel had to say.
When you were thinking about taking this job,
And I think the relationship, you talked about Josh. I think the relationship is great. I think, you know, we have a young quarterback coach that we feel very strongly about in Ashton Grant. And I think he serves a different purpose than Josh. Josh has one relationship with the quarterbacks, and I think Ashton has another, and I think that's a good dynamic. I think Josh continues to put things on their plate, and especially Drake, and give him things to.
Oh, so he caught up. Basically,
yeah.
Good cop, bad cop, different dynamic. He's real hesitant to give McDaniels any credit.
I know. He's like, I don't think he was asked about Ashton Grant. I don't remember that name popping up in there, but good. Got a quarterback's coach, which is also funny because McDaniels has been a quarterback's coach for most of his career, and usually he'd be sort of the twofer. A lot of Bill Belichick teams would have, you know, Bill O'Brien be both or Josh Manos be both, but we knew that Mike Vrabel wanted to hire a bunch of his guys. It appears from the outside Robert Kraft wanted to hire his guy as offensive coordinator, but Mike Vrabel got to fill out the rest of the staff. Now, I will say one thing he has been really consistent about is all credit goes to the players. He's been like across the board. If you ask him about a defensive player, he would say the same thing.
Yep.
But yeah, there's also something just about this strange kind of arranged marriage between Vrabel and McDaniels.
It's interesting.
It is.
I don't know how much it matters at the end of the day. Well, they're winning.
Because he said later, he was talking about something else, but he brought up an old like Ohio State quote from like John Cooper or whatever. He's like, winning masks everything, or like winning fixes everything, which is not just an Ohio State quote, but you know what I mean? He specifically brought that up.
Yep.
And I thought it applied to that. Like, that's not what he was talking about. But it was like, yeah, this Josh McDaniels Vrabel thing will be fine if they're winning, but it's when they're not, that's when anytime things start to, you know, point fingers and whatever.
I just think it's interesting to highlight. You may not think it's a big deal out there, but I think it's interesting to highlight. And I could just hear Vrabel going, yeah, well, if Josh could figure out the running game, we'd really be cooking.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.